Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. The number to call after the top of the hour news is 541-472-1270 if you have questions or comments for our guest. The number to call, 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Just a word about next Tuesday's Tuesday Talk Show. We'll welcome the microphones of KAJO Radio, the Center for Human Equality, courtesy of Rabbi Russell McCallman right here. And it's all right here in Grants Pass. So that's something to look forward to next Tuesday here on the Tuesday Talk Show. In the meantime, it is the second Tuesday of the month. That means city staff is in. We're welcoming right now City Manager Aaron Kubik all alone today. Aaron, well, welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. A little warm, but hey, beautiful day.
Oh, my gosh, it's gorgeous. Yeah, I went for a jog after our forum that we had, our learning and listening session last night. And
what was the temperature when you went out?
It was like 80-something.
Still 80?
Yeah, it was still around 80. And however, it just, like, there was a spots where it just rained really hard, and the humidity was coming up off the asphalt, and it was like, man, I was like running in Hawaii or something. It was hitting me pretty hard, sweating immediately. Yeah, it was good.
Okay, all right, now. Now, let's go back just one step or two and tell me about the forum last night, because we had the specific forum here to share information with the people of Grants Pass. What was shared? What was the turnout? Give me a brief synopsis, or a full synopsis.
Yeah, sure. You know, I talked with a few council members and staff, and we were really pleased with the learning and listening session last night. Now, last night's learning and listening session was on Homeless Solution Grant Program. So as your listeners may know, the City Council is looking at taking an opportunity to provide a grant to, and it'll open it up to the general public, nonprofits, et cetera, to submit their request for capital, not for operations, but for capital. And City Council is going to be taking a look at this again on Monday at the workshop. We do not have direction that we are going to do the program. This has all been community outreach and council consideration. So we'll know more after the June 16th workshop on whether or not we're going to be doing this grant program. If we do, we will be able to take action on it on June 18th. So what does that mean? What council's really doing is they are trying to look at identifying some funding to provide to some nonprofits that will help with purchasing capital, whether that be property or investment in infrastructure, so they can have a low barrier shelter for those that are experiencing being unhoused.
All right. Is the ultimate goal getting that low barrier shelter? That's the ultimate goal?
Yeah, it's multi-pronged, I think. Mm-hmm. In the long run, we want a continuum of services to where we get people, you know, if they've got drug addiction, sobriety, if they've got mental health issues, we get them to the proper resources, that whatever they need that may have caused homelessness in the first place. But from City Council perspective, as some of the community knows, we have some unmanaged resting sites on 6th and A Street, and then on 7th Street by the police station. And that is in relation to a lawsuit that we have currently in place right now, which we're trying to negotiate. And so one of council's main goals is, let's try to get to a place where we no longer have to operate those sites and manage those sites. If we can partner with someone and provide capital to help them get up and running, and if they will have, either through one service provider or multiple service providers, the opportunity to have the inventory of 150 resting spaces. And if those resting spaces are ADA, and if they allow at least 96 hours of resting time, that would allow the city to potentially reduce or eliminate the sites that we have currently in place. And I think that's one of the council's big goals.
All right. Let's talk about, first of all, the funding. Do we have a dollar figure, or is it still up for debate?
You know, there's been general discussion in a previous workshop. We spend right now $371,000 a year, and that's what we have budgeted up in the upcoming budget to spend on these resting sites that we have currently in place. So those costs that are associated with that are anything from just fence rental to waste disposal to porta potty rental. So it costs some money to actually have those in place. And so we know that right now we're spending, or we at least have budgeted $371,000. And that's sort of been the discussion from council's perspective. Council did mention, well, what if we took 3 years of that? That'd be, say, a little over $1 million.
Right at $1 million.
Yeah. Maybe we have the grant program for up to $1 million. They have not determined that, but that's been the general discussion and of what dollar figure we may be looking at, but we're not sure. We'll definitely narrow that down, I think, as a discussion point on Monday's workshop.
All right. When we're talking about this, that's for the purchase of, well, land or structure.
Yeah, it's originally the discussion was, because we were originally looking at, from a city perspective, we were looking at going out and trying to buy a piece of property. Let's acquire a piece of property that would be suitable for a managed campground, resting site, navigation center, sustainability center, whatever you want to call it. Let's try and find a piece of property that would work. And we were struggling trying to figure out what that property should be, what it should look like, what size should it be, what amenities it needs, because we're technically not in the field of providing those services. That's not our expertise. So council is taking this other approach of a grant program. Let's maybe just establish the funds to allow someone to allow an organization to purchase the property. And then that morphed a little bit to the discussion. Well, if it's not just property they need, what about operations versus what about capital expenditures? Council was clear that the grant program is not there for operations. We don't have the resources to continue to support an ongoing operation on an annual basis.
It would be a one-time situation.
It's going to be a one-time situation, and that's why we focused on capital, because capital is a one-time purchase. So whether it be a piece of property or it be, say, for instance, infrastructure that's needed on the site, maybe the site needs a water hookup, or maybe the site needs curb gutter and sidewalk, or maybe the site needs a building, or whatever the site may need in order to help provide those services. These nonprofits can apply through this grant program, if we do have that in place, for one-time capital expenditures.
Do we have any nonprofit step forward to endorse this general plan right now? Of course, if this happens, we would step forward and put in a bid.
We had a representative from Pathways to Sustainability last night at the forum, and they did mention that they're looking at wanting to apply. They mentioned that they have an application based on the current guidelines that we have, and they're ready to go. So once council does truly define, and if they do adopt the grant, then it sounds like we've got at least one nonprofit in this community that wants to step forward to try to provide those type of services to our community.
Do we have any details that from that that nonprofit?
We don't. I do not have the grant information, but they did say that they've been working on it diligently, and they have the ability to apply, it sounds like, and they've given it quite a bit of thought. So we don't have that in hand, that application in hand, so I don't know what those services would look like. But some of the criteria that we have in place, which I think is important, I'll repeat it again because it's extremely important. So we are currently we have an injunction and a judgment against us right now. And the court system in itself is sort of starting to define what objectively reasonable is for our community. The state of Oregon, through House Bill 3115, did not define what objectively reasonable is when you want to try to manage individuals resting in public spaces.
Right.
So they left it up to the communities to do that. But then if the communities are challenged, then it ultimately ends up in the court system. So you've got one.
And that's where we are.
And that's where we are. We've got one judge saying, this is what's objectively reasonable, Grants Pass. And what we know from what is objectively reasonable based on the court is that, one, we need to allow people to rest at least 96 hours at a time. Our sites need to be fully ADA compliant. And we need to have an inventory to allow at least 150 people to rest. So those are our objectively reasonable standards. Individuals that are seeking this grant will need to address those. How are they going to address those three needs of the city? That's what we're trying to link to. We're trying to link to getting, making sure that what's being determined as objectively reasonable is satisfied through our grant program.
All right, let's move ahead. And I know this grant is, nothing is etched in stone right now. This is still in the talking stages.
Thank you for saying that. Yes, okay. It's still in the talking stages. We're going to talk to council again on Monday. On Monday, I'm anticipating we're going to get either a green light, a yellow light, or a red light. And based on where we're going, I think it may be a green light, but I'm not sure. And if it is a green light, we will have the documents ready to go on the grant ready for council adoption on next Wednesday night.
So some work has already gone into the document.
Yeah, and the thing we want to do is we want to try to fast-track this as much as possible. We want to make sure that we're being responsive to the court system. We want to make sure we're being responsive to the community. We want to make sure we're being responsive to those that are experiencing homelessness. And so we are ready from a staff perspective. We are ready to provide council with the documents so we can get something adopted. Once it's adopted, we can start that deadline of getting the announcement out, having an opportunity for people to return their responses, judge those responses based on given criteria, and then make an award.
All right. It's $1 million grant that we're talking about.
Maybe. We don't have the dollar amount. Been talked about from...
Nothing is etched in stone.
No, right there's now. No dollar amount determined.
All right. What safeguards have the city put on this grant, or will put on this grant, that you foresee in terms of performance by the grantee?
Yeah, you know, that'll vary based on what the money goes for. So if it's a piece of property, then it's we could put on some performance measures that guarantee the public dollars will be spent appropriately. Say, for instance, it needs to be managed as a shelter for 5 to 10 years, and if not, then the property reverts back to the city, or those kind of things. So we have some clauses that we're working on that will help assure that the public dollars that we're investing will go for what the intended use is.
All right. Well, fascinating so far. Then this is all trying to get us, one, promote the injunction, and two, get those sites that are certainly not conducive to tourism or a pleasant visual impact of our city right next to City Hall.
Yeah, a couple of things I just want to highlight on that. And this is going off of based on the questions that were received last night and information that I know is out there and opinions that are out there, or concerns are out there from the public. Two things. One, we're currently operating unmanaged campgrounds. So we really don't have any filtering process or anything like that, or when it comes to individuals resting. They're allowed to rest 96 hours. In a managed campground, that really changes. It changes the structure of the site. It changes the impact to the surrounding neighborhoods. Myself and a number of council members have toured multiple sites throughout the state of Oregon that are managed, and the impact around the neighborhoods are minimal to better than if they weren't there. So, if managed well, those resting sites it really minimizes any impact to the neighborhood. Now, I don't want those words to say that there's no impact at all. I'm just saying a managed site, it looks and feels much different than what people are seeing right now on 6th and A, which is an unmanaged site. I think that's an important piece. The other piece that I think is important to note is we've been getting a lot of questions about the lawsuit. Why don't we have all of our parks back? And so
now, some of it has been loosened, and a lot of the parks are now back.
Yes.
But not all.
Not all. And that's the loosening part is part of the negotiation process that we're in right now. So when we were sued for a couple of reasons. Disability Rights of Oregon said that their complaints were, one, we shortened the time that people could rest. We did have at one point council allowed, and this was not the current council, this is a previous council, allowed individuals to rest for 7 days. And then we'd look at maybe relocating. We did reduce that number, and that was one of their complaints, is you reduce the number of hours that people can rest. Another complaint was they were making a complaint that and they were challenging that our sites were not ADA compliant. And then when we closed down J Street, the third argument they made was we reduced our inventory of available resting areas. So when we went to court, we were then put under an injunction, and the judge basically agreed with Disability Rights of Oregon and said, hey, your sites need to be fully ADA compliant. You need to provide 96 hours of resting, and you need to have inventory of 150 resting sites. Council immediately took action. We changed some of our codes. We opened up additional sites, which people can see across from City Hall. They're on 6th and A. So we have an inventory of 150. We have the ability for at least 150 people to rest. We've met every criteria with that court case. Now, we then went to Disability Rights of Oregon and said, hey, we've met this. Let's move forward. We want to try to negotiate a settlement. So we could do one of two things. We can negotiate a settlement, or we can go back to the court system and have the court try to dissolve the case. Going back through the court system could be up to a six-month process. We would prefer not to continue what we're doing right now and operate under the injunction for the next 6 months. We would prefer to do it as quick as possible. So what we're doing right now is we're in negotiations with Disability Rights of Oregon. This could be instead of a multi-month process, only a multi-week process. What we need to do is, and in the meantime, Disability Rights of Oregon said, you know, we see that council has taken action. You've addressed the issues. So we were able to bring back some of our parks and enforce those to our codes. And so we were able to bring back seven additional parks, which you mentioned. And that was a good win for us to be able to bring those back. Now, we still have some parks that resting is allowed. That's why it's important for us to get rid of the injunction as soon as possible. And in doing so, we found the quickest path, and that is through negotiations with DRO. So we're in that 2.5 weeks here about, and so we're hoping maybe sometime in June we'll get some conclusion to that, and we may be able to get this injunction lifted and then the court case resolved.
The word you keep using is settlement.
Yeah.
What does settlement entail? Are we talking dollar figures?
Well, that's part of it. Settlement is that both sides say that, okay, we've met what the court was wanting us to do. We both agree to that. And then since there were some things we needed to do, there is standard procedures where we have to also look at paying some attorney fees. So that's part of the settlement. Is Disability Rights of Oregon is looking at what kind of settlement fees that they're going to be requesting and asking for to pay for their legal fees that they had to deal with in order to bring this case to our local court system.
All right, we don't have any idea what that number is.
We do not. I don't have that at that time. So we have City County Insurance, who has been representing us, and this is the same insurance company that represented us when we went to the Supreme Court. Luckily, we had a lot of great support when we had to go to the Supreme Court, and we appealed the Ninth Circuit Court. CIS covered us all the way, and we also had pro bono work being done by other attorneys and stuff for the Supreme Court case. It's a similar case here, but it's not a federal thing. It's a local thing. So CIS is representing us, and they will help ultimately with that settlement.
All right, we'll continue here, but been so fascinating just getting to the meat of this and finding out exactly what's going on or what to expect here. I need to take just a little quick break before news. Welcome back, everyone. City Manager Aaron Kubik is with us here. We've been talking about what was going on with Measure 3115 at the state level and how it affects us here at the injunction for the homeless situation and finding out exactly what's going on and how to get out from under this injunction and get back to a civil life. All right, so we're talking about possibly, should the negotiations be finalized, getting out from under this month. That's a possibility, as long as the negotiations go well with Disability Oregon.
Yes, Disability Rights of Oregon is the one that really is in the driver's seat from a standpoint of trying to get through this process. We are ready to go. We're knocking on the door. I can tell the listeners here in the community that the city council and the city grants pass is working diligently to get this injunction lifted as soon as possible. We're doing that in a professional and respectful way. And we have done everything that we needed to do to comply. And we're in a great position right now. We just need to get that injunction lifted and the case dissolved.
All right. Now, as soon as should the negotiations prove fruitful and the suit be withdrawn, we're fine. If that's not happening, we're talking months down the road to get this thing done.
Yeah, that's the part. That's why it's so important for us to make sure that we have productive negotiations with the Disability Rights of Oregon in order to conclude this in the most efficient and effective way. Going back through the court system is months out, and no one wants that. And so we're doing what we can to try to get a settlement out of this.
All right. Now, once we get that done, the grant is awarded, nonprofit steps forward, purchases land or a building, or puts together a situation where we have room for 150 occupants for 96 hours, in a controlled environment, in a managed environment. We close those current resting sites right now. That's the ultimate goal that we're looking at.
That is. And let me just mention on the closing the current resting sites, this is where we start to get a little foggy. So far, everything I've talked to you about has somewhat been under our control, and we have our hands involved in it. So I can give you some assurity on some of the things we've said. The part of closing our sites and getting those taken care of, that is the ultimate goal, yes. The time frame for that is going to be dependent on the people who are receiving the grants and when they can get up and running. We have to keep those running until we can show that that inventory has been placed in someone else's hands. Once that's operational, then we can look at reducing it or eliminating what we have right now. So they will be, even though we may dissolve the injunction, that does not mean those campsites go away immediately.
Right.
We've got to have a couple of other things in place. The grant program or some kind of alternative has got to be in place. And there's got to be a nonprofit that steps up who helps provide those services. Once those services are online, then we can start look at reducing ours.
And we don't know what nonprofit. We know that at least one has expressed an interest in stepping forward, but just one so far.
Yeah, and it could, that's correct. And that one nonprofit, it could be up and running. I don't know. I can't speak for them. So that's where it gets a little blurry. Can they be up and running in 45 days? Can they be up and running in 6 months? I don't know. We don't know that answer. It all depends on their site, their infrastructure they're needed, staffing, funding, operational funding, et cetera. It's a package thing that has to all be put together.
All right. And we'll know that once the grant is ready and available and awarded.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that up. That's an important piece because we will know and we'll have a very good idea because the grant specifically asks for a time frame. When will you be up and running? So if council does this grant program and they award dollars to a nonprofit, council and the community will have a very clear understanding on when that will be up and operational.
All right. Well, you've cleared up a lot of things for us, a lot of questions for us this morning, and I'm sure there are more out there. And we ask that you hold your questions until after the top of the hour news, ladies and gentlemen. Number to call is 541-472-1270 after the top of the hour news. And we're headed that way right now. A couple of commercial messages. We'll be right back after Fox News right here on KAJO, 99.7 FM, 1270 on the AM side and streamed all over the world.
The Greater.
Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. The number to call is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air a question or comment to our guest. Our guest today is City Manager Aaron Kubik. Of course, we've been talking about the homeless situation, which has been a topic of, is the end in sight, really? Do we hope that the end is in sight? And I know that end in sight thing might be still another year or two down the road to really get out of it. But let's see.
Yeah, I don't know if end in sight is maybe the right term, but I think maybe a change in the near future where maybe the city is not the one that is providing those unsheltered, no barrier shelters, and that we're focusing more on our great team that we have out in the field, our community response team, and we're trying to get some individuals some additional help and assistance. And we have an opportunity when we run across those individuals in the community to be able to provide a path forward for their recovery, for a path forward for them to better themselves. Because right now that we do have limited services. And so what would be ideal is if we could change our focus. We have not discovered around the world a solution for the unhoused and these issues that, that surround that and what creates that. However, so that's why I say I don't know if it's going to go away, but I think we can maybe do, and what I'm hopeful for,
a more livable situation.
A more livable situation where we're also providing a helping hand and providing direction and providing some focus and some diversion opportunities for individuals to get additional assistance and help with all the community partners that we have. We have great community partners out there, and it's wonderful if the city can be a part of that in order to help get people, get organizations up and running to help assist our community partners.
A couple of questions about the situation that we're in right now currently, because the court has lifted some of the relaxed some of the injunction and got us some of the parks back, but not all. What went into those decisions? Do you know why one park was left in and one park was left out?
Yeah, you know, that was, I'm sure, a tough discussion to some degree. You know, no matter what parks or open spaces you chose, it was probably going to be the wrong one because there was some other one that should have been chosen. Say, for instance, Baker Park. That's one that we've heard, oh, why isn't Baker Park on the list? In essence, the seven parks that were added to the list that we can enforce our current codes with were there because of a couple of things. One, they were surrounded by residential zonings. They had playground and recreational activities for youth. So you would come down to, if we were wanting Baker Park to be included in that list, we would have to take one out. So which park would that be taken out? Would it be Long Ridge? Would it be Portola? Would it be what, which surrounding neighborhood park would it be? So really the criteria when it came to those seven parks, it was it surrounded by residential? Was it next or back to a school? And, did it primarily have a use from a standpoint of providing recreational activity for the youth? So putting those type of things into consideration, I think we're part of that in order to make that list of seven.
All right. All of that makes sense. There's one that stands out, though, that at Gilbert Creek, which really butts up against a couple of schools there, the grade school and the middle school, North Middle School. And I know that's it has recreational facilities there, but not necessarily youth, but right across the creek from those two schools.
Yeah, and why that wasn't on the list?
Yes.
I think part of that is the infrastructure associated with Gilbert Creek has very little open space that is not already ball fields, dog parks, tennis courts. So versus some of the other parks that have all those things but also have a lot of green open space.
Okay, all right. Now, we've been part of what is, what, reasonably objective?
Objectively reasonable.
Objectively reasonable is spaces for 150 people to rest.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure where that number comes from. And when I hear estimates of the homeless population here, it's anywhere between 400 and 600, according to what you have one-day counts, maybe once a year. That's estimated.
Sure. And
is,
yeah,
that, how accurate are those? And
no, I think you're pretty accurate there. And again, the count and what's considered homeless when you're saying 400 to 600, that's not individuals on the street. That's individuals that may not have a place. Maybe they're couch surfing. Maybe they're staying with an uncle. Maybe they're, you know, staying with a family member, but they don't have an actual home themselves. And so there's a number of criteria that gets put into the definition of someone that fits that criteria. So, we have much less than 400 to 600 individuals living on the streets. You can take a look at our numbers now. We have inventory of up to, 150. We still have vacancies. There are some individuals in those allowed parks resting, but the 150 and that number came from the court system, came from the judge. And I think really it was just a number that they pulled out from a standpoint of when we shut down J Street, they sort of tried to put into their mind. And again, I can't speak for the judge, but it was, well, how many people were you able to arrest on J Street? How many people are you able to arrest on 7th Street by the police station? You add those up, it comes up to about 150. I think that's sort of how it went, but don't quote me on that.
All right. Too late. It's already out there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're talking about 150, and you said you've got vacancies in your resting areas right now?
Yes.
Do we keep a count on those? It's unmanaged. How do we know that we've got vacancies? Is there an admission? How are
those? Admission, that's right.
You know, we have they're taking tickets?
Well, we have reserve seating and VIP. And,
good, yes.
No. Well, I can look out my window every day, and I can sort of see the available openings. But we actually don't do an actual true numbers count, although we are in and around the resting sites on a regular basis. Our public safety, police, fire, are responding to calls that are in either in the camp or outside in the surrounding camp. So we have a general idea of what kind of space is available. And on all three sites that we're currently operating, there are spaces available.
All right. We mentioned earlier that we have budgeted, $371,000 a year.
Yes.
To spend on these resting areas. Does that include officers' time responding to those camps?
No, that's a great question. It doesn't include some of those soft costs associated with that. Hard costs meaning more like things that you're contracting for, like waste disposal. The soft costs more like personnel, et cetera. It doesn't cover all of those costs. It doesn't budget all of that in there. It budgets some of my time and some other, but it does not really truly budget police efforts, boots on the ground, providing responses to service calls or any kind of proactive policing that occurs. That is outside that scope.
All right. Is Chief Hensman happy with the situation right now? Or is he seems to always be in a pretty even keel. I'm not sure happy is the right phrase for that. Is he content, I think? Does he have enough boots to cover everything?
Well, our police department we're understaffed. All right. We have a very high call volume when it comes to dispatchers, records, police, even from a fire perspective, but speaking specifically to the unhoused and services for that and our call volume, we have a very high call volume. Our police officers are running from call to call to call, which unfortunately means we don't have the ability to do as much proactive policing as we'd like to. We would like to get that a little more balanced where we're doing a little more proactive police, but in order to do that, we do need additional staffing. Ultimately, because we are running a lot of overtime, we're just running from call to call to call.
All right. Once again, let's just put a caveat on here that we certainly respect all those officers right now, and from everything we've seen, it is a very professionally run staff and professionally executed team of professionals out there. We thank Chief Hensman and his crew for all that. You mentioned earlier. That the community response team in dealing with these people present options to a lot of these people if they need to get off drugs, those sorts of things. There are a list of things that they can have. And how does that work? And how many people, do we have a percentage on how many people that are offered to take advantage of those things?
100% are offered to take advantage of it. We've partnered with nonprofits, and we have teams and groups of teams of individuals that come in with our police officers that have mental health and drug addiction experience, and we try to get them the help they needed, and we try to provide that additional guidance and hook them into, connect them to resources. So we're doing that on a daily basis with individuals that we run across.
All right, but we don't know how many take advantage of it.
Well, stuff, because some of it is, here's the information, here's who you can contact, here's how we can make it. Sometimes it's, you know, we'll take you there right now, let's go. So it's really hard to track, because some they can do it on their own recognizance, and some do require some assistance, and we'll get them that assistance to get there.
Okay, so that is done regularly.
Yes, it is regularly.
I want to say regularly. I'm not say daily, but regularly.
The option for individuals to get assistance is done regularly, yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Strange situation that we're in right now, and I know initially that we were one of the spotlight nationwide was on Grants Pass. Is it still there? Do we have a target on our backs here?
Well, we're on the radio, and
and we welcome you.
I can tell you that, you know, I think Grants Pass is and will continue to do an amazing job. We have great people here. All of my colleagues are extremely professional. We have a policy board, the city council, that really cares about the community and wants to do the right thing for everybody. Does Grants Pass have a target? I could tell you Grants Pass is known nationally. I went to I went out of state to a conference, and when you're sitting around the round table and you're introducing each other, like, oh my gosh, you're the guy from Grants Pass. Thank you. Great job. We're actually known.
For, you guys want to send money?
For winning that Supreme Court case.
Yeah, okay.
And by winning that Supreme Court case, we really set a standard for the whole nation, except for the state of Oregon because of House Bill 3115.
Except for right here at home.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. City Manager Aaron Kubik, our guest right now. We're going to take a little commercial break. We'll be right back. If you want to call, the number is 541-472-1270. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. A little less than 10 minutes left here in the program today, and we've covered certainly the homeless situation in last night's forum here with City Manager Aaron Kubik. Once again, if you have a question or comment, it's 541-472-1270. But there are other things on the agenda here right now, and we didn't even get to any of those things, but coming up to the end of the fiscal year, budget has to be on everybody's mind. What kind of physical situation is the city of Grants Pass in?
Well, we are, you're correct, this Wednesday, this June 18th, we will be looking at adopting the budget, and it is a balanced budget. It is a conservative budget. And it provides an opportunity to allocate resources to those things that council has deemed appropriate in the strategic plan. And we're doing well. We're within our financial policies that we've established. We're not without challenges. We're gonna have some future financial challenges, and one of the biggest ones is general fund operations, specifically public safety, police and fire, and support services funding. That's the largest portion of the general fund. That's where the majority of our general fund dollars go. From an enterprise fund perspective, we're doing well, except for the water treatment plant. With the elimination of the Brent program nationally and the loss of our $50 million, we are looking at the potential of needing to increase utility rates in the water side in the next couple of years, and council's going to be looking at that. We're doing a study to see what ways and how we can do that, and going to bring that back to council. We are looking, though, from a positive standpoint from the water treatment side, July 17th from 10 to noon, we are going to have a water treatment plant groundbreaking on J Street. So
it's going to start.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's got to start.
We're starting. We've got everyone is queued up and on deck and ready to go. So, July 17th is when we're going to break ground. And, even though that $50 million loss was a hit, our smart financial planning, the years in advance that council did of raising rates in anticipation of this project really put us in a good spot. But we will be looking at additional financial needs, I think, in the future, just like we are with general fund. The costs associated with personnel and expenses are just outpacing the revenues that are coming in. We get about a 3% increase each year, which is what we budget for in the budget. And the cost of police and fire services, along with all services, is rising. So we will, and we are planning on having a discussion with council on June 30th. We're going to talk public safety funding. It's basically going to be the whole workshop. And once we pass this year's budget, June 18th, we'll be able to move forward. That'll be taken care of. The next thing is we need to start looking into the future. This council wants to look into the future. They want to try to stabilize public safety, the general fund, and this is going to be our first discussion on it. So on June 30th, we're going to talk about service levels. City Council is going to hear from our police chief and our fire chief about service levels, where we are now, where we think we need to head in the future, and how we might get there. They're going to hear from JC, our finance director, and they're going to hear from them about, okay, this is what we're looking like. This is the projections moving forward in order to get to where our police and fire need to be. These are the type of resources we're going to be needing to look at. So this is not going to be a one workshop and we're done. We've figured it out. I think really looking at this in order to try to come up with some sustainability when it comes to general fund is probably a 2-year process. So it's going to be something we're going to be talking about for quite a while. I know that sounds like a long time, but it is a very complex issue. And there's limited funding sources in order to meet the required need for the service levels that the community is desiring. So each one of those funding mechanisms comes with pros and cons. And just like trying to site a resting location comes with pros and cons in the community, just like trying to pick which park you can enforce your codes in comes with pros and cons. It's the same thing. And it's there's not one funding solution that everyone will agree on and say, yep, that's it. So we really have to work through all of those pros and cons and get community input throughout the whole way.
But public safety certainly, in your words, understaffed, both fire and police right
yes.
now. Any chance of adding boots on the ground for either of those?
Well, we need to look at additional funding in order to make that happen. We're very tight right now. We've slowly drawn down our reserve funds, but we're still within our contingency fund balance. But we're towards the lower end, not towards the upper end. A few years ago, we were up at our upper end, 30 to 40% reserve fund. We were at 38% and doing well. That's dropped down now. Now we're down to 25 to 35% and we're at the lower end of the 25%. Used to be years past, the general fund had the ability to do cool projects like a splash park or whatever it may be. We had the ability to do a lot of neat additional community projects in the total of like $2 million a year. We were able to do things based on council's direction, and we didn't have any money this year for that or last year. So there are multiple signs showing that we're at a place where we really need to look at changes in level of service or additional revenue streams.
All right. Additional revenue streams. What are we talking? Funds coming out of the state of Oregon, federal funds coming in, are those available? Those appear to be drying up too.
They do appear to be drying up. And the problem with a lot of those funds is they're one-time capital expenditure, sort of like the grant that we started talking about at the first of the show, which is great to get something running, but not sustainable. We need to look at sustainable funding mechanisms. What can last? If you're looking at a sustainable level of service, you need to find a sustainable funding source. You don't want to take a temporary funding source to fund something that is a permanent level of service, because at some point that's going to go away and you're going to get stuck trying to figure out how to fund it.
Yeah, we've seen that with, well, certainly at the county's level, at the sheriff's department.
Yes.
They've been certainly year after year either up or down. I mean, at a pretty good level right now.
But yeah. Well. Yeah, no, it's not just Grants Pass. It's not just Josephine County. There are multiple counties and municipalities throughout the state of Oregon that are experiencing this same thing. And that's just due to the makeup of the state of Oregon and how primarily governments get their funding. They get their funding in two ways. They get their funding either through fees and charges, which are your utility fees for the enterprise zone, for the enterprise funding mechanisms like water, sewer, streets, transportation. And the second largest revenue coming in is property taxes. Well, back in 95, 97, Measure 5, Measure 50 really froze those property taxes and the growth of that. And ever since then, that has really shrunk cities' ability to keep up with inflation and grow as the community grows. So these are just challenges that every municipality in the state of Oregon is experiencing.
All right. Aaron, I've got about 2 minutes left here. What do people need to take away from today's program? What questions would you like to see? What kind of answers would you like to see come across your desk?
So the takeaway, I think, from this program is I want to really thank all of the community members out there for their participation in the past couple learning and listening sessions we had. The way those went off and the positive feedback that we got from the public, the ability for them to have their questions answered in a respectful way, I think it really helped grow that relationship. It also, I hope the public sees that the City Council as a policy board is making positive strides in coming up with a solution to help eliminate the unmanaged resting sites that we currently have right now. We're almost there. I think that we're going to make some good progress there. And I hope the public sees the City Council cares and has the same exact concerns that they do. And that's why we're coming up with these solutions. And again, why are we coming up with these solutions and how we get this done? We're at our best when we hear from you. We hear from you through learning and listening sessions, through giving us a call, through talking to me, through talking to council, the mayor, sending us an email. Let us know what you think. Let us know how you feel. Let us know what's important to you, because we do care and we want to make sure we address those issues.
All right. Thank you very much. City Manager Aaron Kubik. Once again, you want to give phone numbers or email addresses?
Oh, yes. Phone number, 450-6000. Definitely, that's the main number. You call that number and we'll get you wherever. And our website is grantspassoregon.gov.
Call it often.
It is. It is. Real people answer the phone.
All right. Thank you very much. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us today. Just once again, next Tuesday, we'll have the, as guest, talking about the Center for Human Equality, courtesy of Rabbi Russell McCallman, right here on the Tuesday Talk Show. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass.